with one time, amen, with a hearty praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Truly, we do praise the Lord. We thank God for it. And I've been really have a testimony that God's my everything.
Amen.
Well, I've been know God's my everything.
Amen.
You know, Cesare knows he's my everything.
Amen.
Mr. Anthony, that's my everything. Amen. When God is missing, how many of God can take away when they are? No way. We thank God for all you. Give yourself a hand praise if you didn't give God with to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Thank God that we have a mind to assemble ourselves together today in His presence. Amen. We thank God for those that traveled yesterday. We thank God. Can we get a bus driver in?
Yeah.
Amen. We have Pat Mears and Rob and Long Ranger and Tonto. I don't know which one they are. This time he was alone because he and George was tied up. We just thank God for God blessing and sustaining him. Right? Must be a challenge. And everybody relax and don't realize how hard it is to be responsible for all those lives. Especially when our own Tennessee was telling me there was another two of us that crashed yesterday. Four people were killed and numerous of them were injured. So we can never take God's banner for granted. Take God's goodness for granted. So can we just say thank you, brother friends? I guess he has a little sidekick because he couldn't have passed his test. We thank God for Sister Mary all as well. Amen. Yeah. She said, don't worry about it. She passed it. So she's a prophetess in that sense. Don't move on. Amen. Listen, Lord. I'm really glad you're saved this morning. And I'm so glad I'm in the house of the Lord one more time. And yesterday was a very, very fruitful event. It was very inspiring. Amen. I know they put a lot of money to the props. Amen. Really, they did a very great job. And so it was my wife's birthday. So I made the sacrifice.
Amen.
I got a part of my arm and part of my legs back. Then it cost an arm and a leg to go there. But nevertheless, God is good. My wife said, ain't I worth it? I said, yeah, you're worth it. So, and this will be able to raise the price for the next time we have to go. But nevertheless, how many know God is good?
Yeah.
And we thank God today for being saved. Thank God for the mind and trust Him. And those of us that have gone through situations, we need to remember the testimony. Bonies of those that we've had in our midst. Anytime the doctors say, I don't know what happened, how many know we trust in a great God?
Amen.
Our God is Jehovah Rapha, God our healer. So what they found, they couldn't find because God intervened. So the Bible says, wherefore, seeing we are encompassed about with what? So great a cloud of witnesses. Great to have witnesses in the Bible. But how I happen to witness right in our midst. Amen. The Bible said, whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning and admonition, that we through faith and comfort of the scripture might have hope. So we don't have to read about it. We can see it and live in color. So when you're going through something, just remember the testimonies. You can say, God, if you did it for them, I know. Can we say, I know?
I know.
Can we say, I know?
I know.
I know you can do it for me. Amen. So let us stand this morning for our scripture reading. And we just thank God for all that He's doing in these last few days. There's so many things that are taking place all around us. But how many know our God is a keeper? Well, how many know God is a keeper? If the adversary had his way, none of us would be here today. But Jesus died so that we might live. Amen. And for that, we say thank you. So our scripture reading this morning is coming from the book of Luke, chapter 14. We're going to read verses 26 through 33. Amen. Luke 14, verses 26 through 33. And if you don't have a Bible, it should be on the screen. But the 26th verse read, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his crown, cross, and come after me, cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he has laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begins to mock him, saying, this man began to build, and was not able to finish. Or what king going to war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today. Oh God, we thank you for your goodness, your kindness, and mercy. Lord, we thank you for this edifice and this place of worship. Lord, we thank you for the freedom, the liberties that we have to serve you, Lord, in these troublesome and dangerous times. But Lord, today we ask you in the name of Jesus, Lord, send us a word that may inspire our spirits. Lord, send a word that may find a lodging place in our hearts. Oh God, they send us a word of encouragement for whatever things are coming our way. Lord, send a word, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, at this time, we acknowledge that without you, we can't do nothing. But we trust that they that know that God shall be strong and shall do it for us. Send a word to heal, send a word to deliver, and send a word to set free. For this, we thank you in the church in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Amen. You know, one of the biggest mistakes that we preachers make in preaching God's word is a lot of times we take God's word and we make it say what we want to say. Amen? Well, how many know we're not supposed to twist God's word to fit our way of thinking? Amen. But the Bible says we ought to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed of what? Rightly dividing the word of truth. So many people have taken parts of, especially this scripture, where it says, if a man come to me, he has to hate. Now, we know that this was written in the Greek, and we know Jesus would not have used his word. But anyway, the word shouldn't be hate, but it means to properly prioritize. All right? Now, how do we know? Because it says you have to hate your mother, your father, your wife, your children, brothers, sisters. And yet, they hate your own self. Right? So we know that it's obviously not about the type of hatred that we're used to dealing with. But Jesus is trying to get them to prioritize. He's trying to get them to set things in the proper order. That's why he goes on and gives the account of the man that's building the tower. He has to first prioritize. He has to consider, can I finish building with what I have? Amen? So this is not about a love-hate situation. This is about Jesus trying to set things in order for proper discipleship. Yeah. Alright? So verse 33 reads, so likewise, whosoever be he be of you that forsaketh not all cannot be my disciple. Now we know we got the prosperity preachers, and we got all these other prophets and prophets saying, if you want God to bless you, you gotta give away everything you got. That's taking this scripture completely out of order. What Jesus is dealing with is them being his disciples, but he said, you have to properly prioritize. Amen. And I believe one of the things that the church needs to learn to do today is prioritize. And Jesus' main focus was on what? He cannot be my disciple. What is a disciple? He's a what? Follower of Jesus. So in order for us to follow Jesus, we have to be willing to forsake all. Amen. We have to be willing to give away all. So our message that we're going to deal with today, coming out of the 33rd verse, would be, are you willing to forsake all to follow Jesus? Are you willing to forsake all to follow Jesus? I want to turn to Matthew, the 19th chapter. chapter. We're going to read two verses of scripture here. Now, once again, forsaking is not like they say, well, if you give God all your money, he gives you much more. He's not dealing with issues of money, a monetary system. What he's trying to do is to teach them to prioritize for what? To be his disciple. How many of us want to be a disciple?
Amen.
Well, in order for us to be his disciple, we have to have everything in its proper order. And he said, listen, the order is this. You can't have your mother. You can't have your father. You can't have your sister. You can't have your brother. He says wife, but how many know because it was written from a male perspective, it also means husband. Right? So he also means husband. He said, you can't have your sister. You can't have your brother. He said, I'm going to go one step further. You can't even have yourself before me. So he's dealing with a proper priority. He's dealing with keeping God first and keeping the mind of God to be his disciple. So there are many people that they claim to be the Lord's disciple, but there's too many things before God. Amen. The job, if we're not careful, can come before God. Family members, if we're not careful, can come before God. Emergencies. How many know we have emergencies? Lord have mercy. We got emergencies on every corner. If you're not careful to properly prioritize, those emergencies will come before God. So what Jesus is teaching them, he said, listen, just keep me first. And everything else will be alright, alright? So let's go to Matthew, the 19th chapter and the 27th verse. Now we know earlier in this same chapter, Jesus is dealing with the one scripture says he's a ruler, another one calls him a young man, and another one calls him a certain ruler. But he's dealing with a ruler and he was rich. He had much possessions. And this real ruler in dealing and coming to Jesus realized something was still missing. Anybody today feel, this is your personal question. Anybody feel like something is just still missing? Like, Lord, what do I need to do more to be what you want me to be? Lord, what do I need to do more to have eternal life? Is what that was his question. So he goes to Jesus and Jesus said, well, you need to keep all the commandments. And he said, well, listen, that's easy. I've done that since the time I was a child. Anybody been faithful to God since you've been saved or since you were a child? He said, I've done all of that. But it was something about Jesus' discourse with him and something about that conversation. The ruler realized, he said, but something is still missing. I still don't have the peace I ought to have. I still don't have the joy that I ought to have. He said, something is missing. So he asked Jesus, what lack I yet? He said, I hear what you're saying, Master. I hear what you're saying, teacher, but something still isn't there. Has anyone ever come to church? Leave out of church and you go and you cry and you pray before God and you say, God, I heard the word and I heard all you said and did, but Lord, I still feel like something is missing.
Yeah.
You didn't feel like that before. And the Bible says, in the scripture, it says, Jesus beholding him. That means that Jesus didn't just look at him, but he looked at him in one of those concerning, daring ways. You know, like all of us, grandparents with grandchildren, our parents with children. How you deal with it. So Jesus beheld him. He didn't look at him in a normal way. But he looked at him in such a way, he said, listen, you're lacking one thing. He said, you're lacking one thing. If you want to follow me, you want to have eternal life. He said, you're lacking one thing. He said, go sell all that you have, give to the poor, and follow me. Amen. And many have taken that to mean that in order for us to follow Jesus, we need to be paupers. We need to be poor. Once again, Jesus is teaching about what? Prioritize. Amen. So when he's telling the certain ruler, he said, listen, you can't allow your business association. You can't allow your finances to come before me. And the scripture said, the young man or the ruler, whoever he was, by the way, very sorrowful because he had great possessions. And Jesus spoke to his disciples. He said, listen, how hard it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And he didn't say they could, he said, but it's hard for them to enter into the kingdom of God. And Peter looked at him and said, Lord, if he can't get in, who then can be saved? Right? But what they failed to realize, Jesus was not teaching about money. He was teaching about a proper principle. He was teaching about properly prioritizing. So that's all the disciples were focusing on the money. But Jesus said, it's not about money. So Jesus' focus was not on the money. And the young man went away very sorrowful. Now, we lose this in Greek, but if we understand that Jesus was speaking Hebrew, we would understand that the young man would have understood to say, you're putting me second. All Jesus was saying, you're putting other stuff before me. I want you to get things in their proper order. Amen. Yes, we all have to live. Amen. Well, yes, we all make sacrifices. But we have to prioritize in order for us to be one of his disciples. All right? So then Peter is dealing with the Lord. Now, once again, Peter is still focusing on what I gave up and what I need to get. How many know if I'm on my way to heaven and I'm so late? Amen. Jesus took my heavy load. But Jesus said, listen, his problem is he trusted his riches, but he don't trust in his God. Yeah. I wonder, is there anybody like today in here? We trust in our relationships, but we don't trust in our God. We trust in our jobs, but we don't trust in our God. So Jesus' focus was on, listen, you can't be rich in that and not be rich in faith. Because when you're rich in faith, you say, Lord, whatever I am, you can make a way. If I'm in ICU and the doctors have prognosticated that I had a heart attack, Lord, I trust in you. And because I trust in you, the scripture says, I have not seen, ear have not heard. And by the head came to your heart, then Joseph said, Lord, I've heard everybody here and other here. Has anybody heard everybody else's testimony about how God made a way for them? But now I don't want to hear about the here and other here. But I see what God has done for me. So I have my own testimony. Because I see what God has done. So when things look bleaker, when it looks like there's no way, how do you know God can still make a way? If you got God, you've been faithful in paying your tithes and your offering, and then God can be faithful to us. Listen, can we be more faithful to God? Then God can be faithful to us. We can't tell God, God, I've done all this for you and you let me down. God does not operate like that. The scripture says God is faithful. So our faithfulness can never exceed the faithfulness of God. If I am faithful, I'll never get to the point when we exceed God's faithfulness, then that means that we are above God. That's our own. So now let's get back to this. So the disciples were focusing on the money. God wasn't concerned about money. Saints today, don't focus on money. Amen. Just do your best. Whatever God has given you, be a good steward over it. So Peter says in verse 27, then as Peter said unto him, Matthew 19, 27, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have? Still, he's focusing on the natural. God said, I'm not concerned about the natural, but I'm concerned about the spiritual. Amen. Because what the young man didn't realize, the rich ruler didn't realize, he said, all your attention is focusing on what you can amass on earth. But this earth is just a temporary place. We're only strangers and pilgrims, and all of us are passing through. Our destiny should be to make heaven our home. Amen. So now let's get down to verse 29. Now this is Jesus' response to him. He said, everyone that has forsaken houses, our brethren, our sister, our father, our mother, our wife, our children. Now earlier he said, if you don't hate them, but now he said, you need to do what? Forsake them. He said, if you don't forsake them, our land for what? My sake. Shall receive a not listen, God's gonna make a way for you. Yes. If you're faithful, you don't have to wait, as Rev Mike used to say, you're gonna drop a calendar something in the sky. No, we used to have some crazy saying. He said, I want my stuff now, I want my stuff in the sky, I want it now. Listen, I want my stuff later. Yes. I don't want it here. Because when it's here, the Bible says, all the rust does corrupt. Yes. But when I get it, I can be happy. When I get my possessions in heaven, neither a boss can come through. Thieves can't break in. Rust can't corrupt it. Hallelujah. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I wonder today if God was to do a treasure chest examination. Where is our treasure this morning? Where is our heart at this morning? Hallelujah. He said, you're going to receive a hundredfold. He said, but the most important thing of all is going to do what? Inherit. Everlasting life. So the focus is not on the now. The focus is on where will you spend eternity. Yeah. Amen. So the Lord, once again, he's redirecting their focus. He said, you want to ask them, are you really willing to forsake all to follow me? And that's the question I'm going to ask all of us today. Are we willing to forsake all? Amen. All of us have, I like that certain ruling. All of us got a one thing. How do you know we got a one thing that every time we get to the brink of breaking through, that one thing, Red Rock raises his other head and holds us back? My wife was speaking to someone recently, and I forgot who it was, and she was giving me this cartoon illustration. A guy he's locked in this cave, and he's been digging with a pickaxe trying to get out. And then right before he breaks out, he just quits and gives up. And then the cartoon illustration showed all he had was one or two more hits to break through. But he didn't break through because he quit. He gave up. But the Bible said, men are always to pray and not to faint. Amen. God did not create us, hallelujah, to most. It should be heaven. Set your affection on things
above.
You know what I mean? Your mind has to be constantly on God and things above. But the devil likes to throw things in to make us lose our focus. Amen. So the 14th chapter of Luke 26, verse 3. If any man come to me and hate what? Once again, this hate is not what we think. But what this word is the Greek word bizio. It means to love something less than or more than. So what he's dealing with, he said, listen, love your parents. And we should all love everybody. He said, but you can't love anything more than me. So what he's dealing with is a priority system. Amen. And we have to prioritize. How do you know life is like this? Life will weigh you down if you don't set priorities in order. Like, you wake up, in the morning and pray what you're going to do during the day, and at the end of the day, you didn't do anything else.
Jesus.
Happens to me all the time. I understand you all with me. You know why? Because we don't prioritize. Because when you prioritize, if you get ready to do something, when the phone rings, you just look at the numbers and I'll call back later. So, the moment that the devil knows you're about to make a spiritual breakthrough, he sidetracks us. You're about to get your spirit. More licks to get to the cave, and he sends you an emergency. And he sends you something from nowhere. It sidetracks you at 8 in the morning. Then at midnight at night, you're still dealing with the sidetrack. You got to give that to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. You can't fix that. You can't solve that situation. So life is about priorities. What's the number one priority we all should have? Heaven. Right? Priority should be God first, and everything else has to be so far behind. But we're living in a day and time where the priorities have been reversed. Well, what about my house? What about my car? What about this? What about that? What about the other? Jesus said, not even your own life can come before me. You have to have a proper priority if you desire to be my disciple. Now I want to close in the third chapter of Philippians. The great Apostle Paul, if we can turn to the third chapter of Philippians. Amen. And we know Paul was mightily used by God, and Paul was a great and a mighty man. But Paul learned through all of his difficulty, God has to be first. God has to be first. Let me ask you a question. If you make a commitment to God, listen, if you make a commitment to God, and one of your family members is there, listen, you can take care of God later. I want you to do this for me.
Jesus.
This happens all the time. Listen, that's the devil uses things close to you to break your will to make us inadvertently disobey God. None of us will willingly disobey God, but inadvertently he sends stuff through the side door to make us disobey God. Amen. So my question is this. If you make a stand for God, don't you know God will take care of everything else you have to come in with? Right, so when you make a stand for God, then all of a sudden you get a side track. You get a side door experience that comes in and catches you unaware. And you lose your whole focus because you stop focusing on God who's before you, and then we look at the side door. Right? You know what? Jude said, be with these men and stuck in unaware. The side door. The devil is constantly sending us side door experience to sidetrack us from God's purpose. So how can we make a stand for the God of our salvation and miss out? Right. So you know what? So when we get a side door experience, unfortunately, we perform Nebuchadnezzar's golden image. And if I don't bow to the golden image, look at all to do. If you got God, you got everything you need.
Yes.
Right? danger in the church. I'm in danger out of the church. He said, I'm in danger with the brethren. I'm in danger with false brethren. Joe Paul said, in the way I go, I have nothing but trouble and trial. He said, but one thing I do know, God will never forsake me. How many of us have that testimony? Not a word of only, that's what comes from your lips, but a testimony, what comes from your heart.
Amen.
That was God. Right? Come, no man can come unto me except the spirit of my father drawn. Yeah. and also being made conformable unto his
death.
You know what Paul is saying? He said, Lord, not my will,
but
thy will. Well, what was the conformation to Jesus' death? Jesus said, Lord, Father, not my will, but thy will. That's when you sow all out.
Yes.
Amen. A lot of us have got parts of us. You know what? Fasten. Let's say God puts it on your heart. This is just an illustration. Let's say God puts it on your heart, and you're there, and God said, I want you to give $121 in offering today. That'd be an off number. And you don't know how much money you got in your pocket. You say, Lord, if you say you'll not do it. Then you go in your pocket, and you pull out, you only got $121. Now, this is how our minds work. We'll say, well, Lord, I know you say you'll give $121 in offering. But if I give you $121, I don't have. This is an illustration. All right? Just so you see how the mind works. If I give you $121, I don't have nothing left over. But you knew God spoke to you, and you knew God said. Do you think God has a little problem with his mind? Do you think God is schizophrenic? Do you think God doesn't know? So he said, well, Lord, I'm going to give 100, but I'm going to keep the 21. Guess what? You just disobeyed God. Because you